Carol Carman here, and on behalf of everyone at Grunty Fennery, home of all things Grunty Fen, I'd like to welcome you to number 13 in this series of occasional podcasts. In a few moments, we're going to treat you to a free episode from 1992. But first, can I put in a word about our latest collection, available as a CD or a download, which rounds off our releases from 1993. The collection is Archive Edition 18, The Gut, and it features five episodes from November and December 1993. It answers such questions as, why is Dennis talking about Maudie's vitality? What has he done, and why did Mr. South call it grotesque? Why has Dennis had the best afternoon, and what made Mrs. Jeffries furious? And surely Dennis can't be talking about old whores, can he? Mind you, he has had a visitation, and George Robinson's been going on about fairies, but where do they come from? And why did Dennis make a Mary? Where can Grunty Fen residents go to be uplifted and transported? And why did Dennis have to look and listen through the hole? Be warned, this collection contains treacherous lino, General MacArthur, a leg over, rinsing tinsel, thermogene wool, smiting and begatting, Mrs. Sturgis's iris, the parallels, Thorpit, Joseph's beard, Will's whiffs, a man with teeth, religious smoking, a demon singler, bent scaffolding poles, looming nostrils, Mackerson, Maria Lanza, and a scabby dog. So, if any of that lot interests you, please head over to the album section of Dennis's online shop at dennisofgruntyfen.co.uk to find out more. And now, on to your free episode. It's time to see in the new year of January 1992, where Dennis is still in a bit of a doodah over the events of 1991. Take it away, Dennis.
Fen Tigers got dewdrops on their nose. Fen Tigers got webs between their toes. Fen Tigers catch eel and grunt old fight. But blast that wind come off the fen, that'll blow you there and back again. Blast that wind come off the fen, that'll blow you off your bike.
Oh, thank you, Dennis. Well, how's the new year been treating you?
Well, I ain't finished with the old one yet.
Oh, come on, 1991's dead and gone.
Not for me, that ain't.
Well, you told me yourself that 1991 was a rather ordinary year for you.
So that were.
Well then, why worry about
it? Right up until the last few hours, you know.
What do you mean, the last few hours?
Well, them last few hours, they left me all of a doodah.
What's happened in the last...
I've been all of a doodah ever since.
What happened in the last few hours of 1991?
Left me all of a doodah,
I mean, what was doodah about the last few hours of 1991? Well, can you be more specific?
See, that was when we were invited to tea with Miss Edwards and Miss Edna, you know.
Was it down the post office?
Me and me gran. 3:30 on December the 31st. See, that was the Tuesday, last day of the year.
I see.
Yeah, we presented ourselves, you know.
Tea at the post office. That doesn't sound particularly doodah provoking, if I may say so. Although I'm rather glad to hear your granny had a chance to get out of the LNER. I suppose George Robinson ran her down in his van, did he?
See, he'd have run anybody down the state he were in. Oh, I had to barrow her down, you know.
Barrow?
Oh, George were too drunk, yeah.
You took your granny down to the post office in a barrow?
Yeah, well, she couldn't walk, could she?
Well, not at 92, I suppose.
Yeah, hard enough getting her across to Puddle, you know.
The great puddle that always engulfs your yard. What did you do then? You put your granny in a filthy garden barrow.
Ain't filthy? That's me best barrow, that were. She sat there like a mahajama in a howdy-do.
What do you mean a mahajama in a howdy-do?
Well, one of them Indian toffs on elephant, you know. We've seen pictures of them and that.
Not a mahajama, a maharaja.
Well, something like that.
You mean a howdah? One of those little sort of sheds, you would call them, on the top of an elephant.
That's right, yeah.
Anyway, did you make your granny comfortable?
We put all cushions all around her. She was very comfortable, missus.
Those cushions she makes herself?
The ones
with the proverbs and the words of homely wisdom
that's
that she embroiders on them?
Yeah.
With all the spelling mistakes. mistakes.
Yeah. Well, she don't know about them, you see. That trouble is, that's her old eyes. She can't see what she's broidering.
Yeah.
And she let her old attention wander sometimes.
Yeah,
with
somewhat unfortunate results. Yeah. I remember one embroidered cushion that read, "Look before you leer."
And it was, "Bless this horse."
Too many cooks spoil them both.
Home is where the heat is.
Every clod has a silver lining.
There's a new one now, you know.
Oh, dear, there's a new one. What's it say?
Well, that's her old eyes, you know. They keep letting her down. You're getting it wrong.
Well, what does it say, the new one?
Many a slip twixt cup and lap.
So you loaded your granny into a wheelbarrow surrounded by these extraordinary cushions.
Well, that ain't easy. I'll tell you, that ain't easy. She's a big old gal, you know, and that's only a little old barrow. It's lucky I put on them stabilisers, you know.
Stabilisers on a wheelbarrow?
You see, when she starts to go, there's no holding her. She fell right out once, right in front of the bull.
Oh, dear.
Ain't happened since I fitted the stabilisers.
What are these stabilisers you fitted your granny's barrow?
That's a brilliant bit of engineering, that is. A couple of strats, you see, either side of the barrel with a pair of pram wheels on them, you see. And that way, I mean, me grand tilt a bit, the strats ought to break her fall,
Very sophisticated. Yeah. I'm sure Isambard Kingdom Brunel would have been most impressed.
Sort of belt and braces, you might
We still
say.
Don't seem to be any nearer understanding how the last few hours of 1991 revolutionised your view of the entire year.
Well, you just hold your tighter and come into that.
Well, please get on with it.
Run as fast as I can. It wasn't such a blooming tear, you are. That's your trouble.
Anyway, you got to the post office for tea at 3:30 on Tuesday, New
Year's
Eve.
She always put on a good spread, you know.
Oh, Miss Edwards' teas, they're good spread, aren't they?
Yeah, well, that's easy when you've got your own shop, isn't it, really?
Well, what did this splendid spread consist of?
Two cartons of Jaffa cakes, box of macaroons.
I say.
Carton of savoury tartlets. Whole box of chocolate fingers. I never them for ages, you know. Half a pound of Garibaldi's and some rich tea assortment.
Really, a splendid spread.
Yeah.
Incidentally, Dennis, I hope that when you took tea with these two maiden ladies, you minded your manners, didn't you?
Minded me manners? Minded me manners? Hey, do you think I were brung up? Do you think I'm common or something like that? Of course I minded me manners.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean...
Of course I minded me manners.
I didn't mean to offend you.
I know how to behave in polite company.
Well, good, good.
I never said a word about the sell-by dates.
What do you mean the sell-by dates?
Well, I couldn't help noticing on the cartons and boxes of Jaffa cakes and that, they said 1989. They were mostly 1990, but I pretended I hadn't seen. My gran was quite glad, really.
Well, I'm sure she was glad. I bet she was very glad that you didn't draw her attention to the fact that you were eating cakes and biscuits and things that had long passed their sell-by date. I think your granny was very pleased indeed.
No, she was glad the Garibaldis were so old, you see, because they'd gone soft. That saved her having to dunk them, you see. Because she loved a Garibaldi. But, see, she were wearing her dream of owl and teeth in case she were asked to entertain after tea,
yes,
you see.
Course,
sometimes people like her to whistle after her past, you know.
Yes, and her dream of owl and teeth are her whistling teeth. Anyway, the tea seems to have been a great success. How did this make a difference to 1991, Dennis?
Come to that.
Well, I would do as you would. I mean, what happened after tea? I suppose you loaded your hapless grandmother back in her barrow and wheeled her back to the LNER.
Well, she were keen to go. She was getting a bit fidgety in that, you see.
Of course she would be. I mean, at her age, even tea at the post office must be tiring.
She was fretting about the cat.
Oh, yes, the cat. That obscenely filthy creature with the crisp fur.
Ain't filthy.
Which
I do its best to keep clean, but that's got the rheumatism in it. That can't get its leg up round its back and get its head round and then lick its...
I don't think we want to hear what it can't lick.
Anyhow, all that stuff, that's accumulated, you know.
Yes, I know the story, and it acts as camouflage, enabling the cat to creep up on rats and mice undetected.
Yeah, that's why that's called SAS cat, isn't it?
Dennis, will you please explain what happened at Miss Edwards that had such a dramatic effect that it changed your whole view of 1991? Now, you say your granny was keen to get home after tea. Then
if she don't feed the cat, that get vicious.
Vicious. The cat gets vicious.
And when that cat get vicious, they start breaking crockery, doesn't it?
How on earth can a vicious cat break crockery?
Well, see, that sit on top of the meat safe in the wardrobe porch.
Yeah.
And if you're late feeding it, that start banging its tail ever so hard against the side of the LNER.
What's
this
got to do with the crockery?
Well, see, that cat's tail has a blooming hard. That's like a rod, you see, and that go bang, bang, bang against the side of the railway carriage. And see, that reverberate, doesn't it?
Reverberate?
Yeah, that reverberate and that shake the plate rack, you see.
It must have a very powerful tail.
That broke egg cup last time me gran were late feeding it.
See, your gran was naturally keen to get home from tea at Miss Edwards', if only to save her egg cups.
Trouble was, Miss Edwards and Miss Edna, they kept on sort of delaying our departure, you know.
What do you mean, delaying your departure?
Well, Miss Edwards said since me gran were wearing her dream of Owens, that seemed a pity not to feel the benefit.
So your gran had to whistle for her hostesses,
well,
did she?
She whistled beautiful. She whistled, "We'll gather lilacs," and then she done "Abide with me."
Oh, I bet Miss Edwards was delighted with that.
Oh, yes, so was Miss Edna. She said that one of me gran's best renditions she'd ever heard of "We'll Gather Lilacs."
Really?
Except for the caraway seed what got lunged under her dentures, you know. That were her upper plate, you
Dennis.
See. Got right down behind her molars,
really?
You know. She reckoned that brought her down an octave. Well, that's what Miss Edwards said.
Really? Well, she's very musical. I mean, she'd notice a thing like a caraway seed affecting a whistler's pitch, wouldn't she? Yeah. Anyway, after the whistling of "Abide with me" and "We'll gather lilacs," you finally loaded your granny into the barrow and started to trundle her home.
Well, that's the thing. See, Miss Edwards, she started asking me to do one or two little jobs about the place.
Little jobs?
Well, my gran were getting more and more, what do you call, fractious.
What about
see?
The cat, I suppose?
No, about the ducks. See, the ducks needed feeding too, and Brian get bilious if he's fed late, you know.
Brian the guard dog. What sort of jobs did
you... Well, he had me fitting a new wire on the cheese cutter in the shop. And then I was helping carrying a crate of liniment for a new display, what she were planning.
Really?
And then I had to sharpen the bacon, slice them
myself. Quite a list of jobs she had.
Yeah, and of course her overflow were dripping. Yeah.
Miss Edwards was dripping.
Oh, I had to bend her arm.
You had to bend Miss Edwards' arm?
I had to bend the ballcock arm, on her system.
Anyway, you got all these jobs done in the end and you were able to load your granny into the barrow for the journey home.
Well, not exactly.
Well, you mean you hadn't finished all your jobs, or what?
Just as I'd done the last one, reaching down some hurricane lamps, what Miss Edwards couldn't quite get to, because I was up on the top shelf,
you see.
As I got them down, and me gran was saying, "Well, that's been a lovely time. We'll all got to get home and be on our way now, you see." I see her do it myself. I see her do it with my own eyes.
What?
She done it on purpose.
What?
That weren't no accident, I reckon.
What?
Well, she gave that a nudge with her elbow.
Miss
and
Edna.
She thought I weren't looking, you see.
What did she do?
Well, she brought the whole bloomin' pyramid of sink toidies crashing down, myself.
Miss Edwards' famous Christmas special display of enamel sink tidies arranged in the shape of a Christmas tree.
Crash, they went, right on the floor.
Oh, why on earth would Miss Edna want to purposely knock down the Christmas tree sink
tidies? So she could find me another bloomin' job to do, that's why.
Dennis, are you implying these two ladies were conspiring to delay you and your gran from going home?
Oh, bother, she say.
Miss Edna.
Oh, bother. Dennis, would you be a dear and help me build them up again, she said.
So then you had to start stacking sink tidies.
I was saved by the bell, missus.
What bell?
Well, the bell in the Cossack.
Cossack?
Just outside the post office, telephone Cossack.
Dennis, it is not a Cossack, it is a kiosk, a telephone kiosk. Anyway, the bell was ringing, the telephone bell in the Cossack.
Said,
oh, you got
go
me saying
and
it now.
Answer that, will you, say, Miss Edwards? Leave the sink tidies, I can manage them.
So you went to answer the phone, did you?
Yeah.
You don't often speak on the phone, do you?
Well, last time, it was when Stan's car broke down on the way to Yarmouth a couple of years ago.
I remember it well.
Yeah.
Anyway, who was phoning Grunty Fenn telephone kiosk on a Tuesday afternoon in December?
Well, I got in and I lifted up the receiver and I heard this old foreign lady.
An old foreign
lady? Yeah, she was quite old and she talked ever so funny in there.
What did this funny old foreign lady say?
She said, "Hi, Denny."
Hi, Denny.
Yeah, she said.
How does she know your name?
Hi, Denny, she say. That you, son?
Son?
Yeah.
Dennis, what did you say?
I said, who's speaking, please?
But Dennis...
Was it Granty Fenn 243?
Dennis, I don't think...
Who do you want to speak to? I said, and this voice on the phone, you see.
Yes.
Miss
Edith. Yes, tell me.
This voice, this old foreign lady.
Yes.
Well, she was speaking sort of American,
Dennis,
that well.
What did she say?
Miss Edith, she said... It's your ma, Denny.
Your mother? Dennis, I mean, this is fantastic. You haven't spoken to your mother for, well, it must be 40 years.
Well, I said, sorry, you can't speak to me mother. She's in Calhoun.
Oh, I see. You didn't realise it was her. Well, I mean, Calhoun, Georgia, she's been living there since she was a GI bride. I mean, that's more than 40 years ago, isn't it? She left Grunty Fenn and went to live in America with Buzz.
That's how he dawned on me, you know. That were her. She sounded ever so clear, you know. That was marvellous, really. That was clear, and when I found Miss Edwards from the other side of Methwold Hive, you know.
You actually spoke with your mother?
Yeah.
Dennis, what did you talk about?
Well, it was all of a doodah, you see. I told her about me broad beans was
your
looking
broad
all
beans?
Right. They was coming through nicely.
But didn't you tell her about Maudie Deeks, your girlfriend?
Yeah, I told her about how the Bramley had come down in the hurricane, and I told her how that shook the privy, but old privy held, you know.
After 40 years, you start talking about a privy.
I told her how dry that had been, but that hadn't affected the paddle. Old paddle was still there, just the same as that had always been. And I said, because you see, there hadn't been enough rain for more than 2 or 3 years.
That's what you spoke about. 40 years of silence between you and your mother, and you talk about the privy and broad beans and the fact that it had been a dry year. What did your mother say to that?
I forgot to tell her so many things, you know. She said she wanted...
Wasted opportunity.
She said she wanted to talk with her mother. See, that was me gran,
yes,
see.
I worked that out.
And Miss Edwards, she brought out a Lloyd Loom chair for me gran to sit on just outside the Cossack.
Kiosk.
Yeah, where we had to sort of stretch the flex of the phone far as we could. And
yes.
You see, me gran sat there and she spoke to me ma. And then, do you know what?
Well, what?
me mum put Buzz on the line to me gran.
Your stepfather?
Oh, yeah, because I always got on ever so well,
your stepfather?
See.
Father spoke to your grand.
Grand said she weren't long for this world,
oh,
and
dear.
How she hoped he'd see his way clear to letting an old lady see her only daughter again before she passed over.
Well, that's a pretty heavy hint. What did Buzz say to that?
Well, that's what I kept asking me gran while I was wheeling her back to the LNER. What did Buzz say? I kept asking her, you know.
Yeah.
But she said that were private.
Oh.
But she said I wouldn't be surprised if 1992 didn't bring something special.
Dennis.
I don't want to raise your hope, she said. She wouldn't tell me no more, you know. Wouldn't tell me no more. That were clever, though. The whole thing were clever, I reckon, you know. Miss Edwards, she knew all along because she'd had a postcard, you see, to say me mum were going to ring up on that very time, and she never let us know.
That was a surprise.
Yeah, she kept me doing all them jobs,
so,
you see.
The year ended
myself,
with a
I tell you what, that was a surprise. But I forgot to say so many things.
You didn't mention Maudie.
I never mentioned Maudie. I didn't know. Oh, yeah, it all went out of my mind, you know. You get talking to people like that and you can only think of them.
Dennis, just think, you may have a chance. Dennis, you may have a chance to have a long, long talk with your mother, not on the telephone, but face to face sometime this year, 1992.
Well, that's why I'm such of a doodah, myself.
Well, at least I do understand now what you meant when you said the very last day of the old year made such a difference to the whole of 1991 for you.
That's all in your life. That's all in your life. Don't go scratching of your poor old head. Don't go worrying, just go back to bed. That's all in your life and you're a long time dead. That's all in your life. God bless.
Fancy Dennis not mentioning Maudie. He was definitely all of a dither and all of a doodah. Thank you for listening to our podcast. There's plenty more information about Dennis, Mr. South and the wonderfully bleak world of Grunty Fen on our website, dennisofgruntyfen.co.uk, where you'll find previous podcasts and Dennis's online shop selling books, greetings cards, maps and recordings, including our latest release, Archive Edition 18. You can follow Dennis on Facebook. And if you'd like to join our mailing list so we can let you know when a new podcast or CD is coming out, please email us on info@dennisofgruntyfen.co.uk. We won't bombard you with stuff, but may surprise you a couple of times a year with an email. From all of us here, we hope you have a very happy and peaceful new year. And with a bit of luck and a following wind, we'll see you again in 2026. Take care, and remember, that's all in your life.